Today we are on the fifth key theme of the Old Testament. I mean, there's not one set list, but we are in a series called The Old Testament in Seven Sentences, looking at seven major ideas or themes that develop in the Old Testament as part of God's big story. Today we are on prophets, we're going to look specifically at their message about what faithfulness is. But I want to remind you of what we've covered so far. There are four themes that have gone before. The first is that of creation. We looked at the creation story and what it teaches us about why we are here, the purpose with which God created, and we talked about the great problem of sin, of disobedience, and all the consequences that came from that. The second key theme was from the story of Abraham. God came to Abraham and made a covenant, a promise with him, for him and his children and his descendants. And it was a promise for children and land and blessing. And really, children and land are a blessing. And we talked about the language woven into that promise, that it wasn't just for Abraham, but he was blessed, he and his family, to be a blessing to humanity, to the world, to the nations. And that is a theme that's going to continue to appear throughout the Bible. We looked at the story of the Exodus, a story of God's earthly deliverance and salvation. We saw how it pointed to Jesus Christ in the New Testament and his deliverance and salvation. We talked last week about David, man after God's own heart. We also looked at his failures, his disobedience. But the main thing we focused on was a covenant with David. And it wasn't in place of the promises God made to Abraham. It wasn't separate from that, but it was building on top of. So God renewed all the language with David that he had with Abraham about being blessed to be a blessing. But he also promised to David to bless his rule and his throne and his lineage. And he said, "This kingdom will be forever." And we traced that on forward and saw that, in fact, the kingdom fell apart. God's people lost Jerusalem, got taken into exile. But in Jesus Christ, what had been an earthly kingdom, just like with Moses, an earthly deliverance, we see in Jesus now a true eternal and spiritual kingdom. And that was Jesus' message, to talk about the kingdom of God that is now here. And that brings us this week to the prophets, and our core verse is one you've heard and heard sung this morning. What does the Lord require of you but to do justice, to love kindness, and to walk humbly with your God? Before we jump into that, I want to say a word about the prophets in general, where they fit into this story arc that we've been talking about. They were a specific kind of preacher. They came to speak a direct line from God. They most often began their messages with, "This is what the Lord says." And the whole thing is in quotes from God, right? God is speaking, listen up. And their message was one of faithfulness. And it had two sides of it. One was to call the people back to the covenant, those promises to Abraham, those promises to David. God's people, his children, had been disobedient, and the prophets came to say, "Turn around and come back. It is not going to go well if you continue to disobey God." So it was a message of invitation to faithfulness. But also, the other part of their message was one of reminding those same disobedient and exiled and wandering people that God was still faithful to them, because those questions came up during that period of having lost Jerusalem, the temple being destroyed, lost the kings and all that, captive in a foreign land for hundreds of years. Where is God? What about all those promises? And the prophets came to preach that hard message of come back to God, you've been disobedient, but also that comforting message of God still loves you, God is faithful, God is pursuing you. So that was, you may hear some of both of that this morning. This morning, I just want to focus on two things. One is, what does faithfulness look like? And we're going to look at Micah's sermon, but we're going to see that it's echoed in a couple of key places, in the Psalms, in the words of Jesus. And then we're going to talk about what faithfulness does not look like, also using Micah and Psalms and Jesus. And if you're wondering about the Psalms and Jesus, those are the readings from the service, right? So the call to worship was from the Psalms, and we're going to refer to that. And then we had a passage from Micah and a passage from Jesus. So as I'm talking about those three, if you want to refer back to the scriptures, just look at your bulletin. So first, what does faithfulness look like? I'm going to take these a little bit out of order from Micah's words. I want to start with kindness, right? So Micah talked about justice and kindness and living in humility. I'll start with kindness, just because Mira did such a great job in her children's message of describing what kindness is, right? It is compassion, it's love, it is kindness, but it's done authentically, right? In her first scenario, she was doing all these kind things for her brother, but it was so that she could get the reward of ice cream. And then as she reflected at the end, she asked, is that really kindness, or is that just me working the system, right? Kindness is, it's going to sound familiar, it's loving our neighbor as ourself. It's giving up our own needs and wants and desires to care for the other person. It's the washing of the feet. It's all the service that Jesus talks about. It's his example of giving up his life for the sake of the world. Kindness is putting the other person first and seeking their best before God. Not their best in a worldly sense, but what is God's best for them, and can I contribute toward that? And then Micah talks about justice. There are a lot of definitions floating around about justice, but from Scripture and from Micah, the prophet, from Jesus and others, I would define it this way. Justice is doing what is right in the sight of God. It's doing what is right in the sight of God. So injustice is if there is a situation that would break God's heart, that would cut against God's desire or will, and justice is moving into or towards that situation to make it right. And justice is a hard thing to talk about because we are pulled by so many other definitions. It is so easy, especially now in these recent years, for us to take our definition of justice from our politics or from the media or from any number of things. Sometimes, and hear me all the way through this sentence, sometimes Republicans get justice right. Sometimes Democrats get justice right. The question for the Christian is not, am I lining up with my party or my preferences, but is it what God says is right? And that, I think, is going to lead Christians through an interesting and wandering path where sometimes our favorite person or celebrity or politician is going to agree with us, and sometimes they're not. Micah says, do justice. Do what God says is right. When it is the popular and convenient thing to do, when it is the unpopular and inconvenient thing to do, do what God says is right. And that leads into the third trait well, because I recognize how hard that is to do. To take our cues from God, even when they cut against the grain of what we see and feel all around us, sometimes even in our own family. The third trait Micah lifts up is walking or following after God in humility. Because the trait I need most in order to truly do justice and truly live kindness and love kindness is to yield my own self-confidence and assurance that I have the end answer on everything, and commit to humility and learning from others, from God, from the community of faith. One of the hardest things we're doing right now as a church, some of you know this, some of you don't, one of the hardest things we're doing is the Sunday school class on justice. But I think this is absolutely the critical and key place for that to happen, because it's happening with a group of believers who love each other like family, whose politics differ, whose backgrounds differ, but whose entrance into the class is to say, we want to know what God says is right. And it may press us and squeeze us and challenge us in some way. Every member of the class, I think, is going to feel that at some point. But in humility and community, We want to learn and put ourselves at God's feet. Not even the teacher's feet or the curriculum's feet, but what is God leading us to do and say? And that's going to be hard. There's going to be some days where I know they hang up from that class and they think, what in the world have I been a part of? But what better place to do that than with your Christian family? So I commend every person in that class for Cindy and Emily for putting on the facilitator's hat. And I pray every week for God to bless and be in the middle of that conversation. I don't have any illusion we're going to come out on the other end of it with everybody thinking the same thing or even having answers to all the injustice in the world. But what a good and godly thing to have that conversation around God's word with people who love God and love each other. What does faithfulness not look like? This is where I'm going to talk about Psalms and Jesus. Micah, if you read the context of his justice, kindness, humility verse, he says what God does not require of us, what God does not want. It's not more sacrifices, you know, more songs. You know, if God likes one sacrifice, well, what if I do 10,000 of them? Will that kind of win God over to my case and my cause? And he says, no, what God desires is kindness, justice, and humility. And you might write that off to a singular prophet writing hundreds of years before Jesus ever showed up. But if you read the Psalms, the one we read this morning, same thing. Does God desire bulls and rams and sacrifices? I mean, God commanded all those things, right? But if that's all our religion is, and I realize you don't sacrifice bulls and goats and all that, but if all your religion is showing up a good shepherd or having that quiet time in the morning or sending your check each month and you miss what God really desires, then we're missing it. The psalm lists out very similar traits of faithfulness and justice and kindness. Jesus, in that passage that Claire read, he's waxing prophetic. He's taking on the Pharisees and saying, look, you are the most religious people there have ever been. You take tithing so seriously, you pull the spices out of your cupboard and you separate them into tenths so that you can tithe part of your mint and your dill collection. You're insane, but look what you're missing. And Jesus also lists out justice and mercy and kindness and compassion. It says that's the essence of our faith. Yes, God talks about worship and commands it. God talks about offering and sacrifice and commands it. He even talks about tithing. But there is this marriage of the things that we believe with the things that we do. And that's where the prophets and the psalmist and Jesus hit home, right? That our faith can't be separated from we often hear works, but I like the word faithfulness because it merges those together. If you are full of faith, your faith will appear in your words and in your actions and your thoughts. So faithfulness. So it does not look like just going through the motions, an external, he called the Pharisees whitewashed tombs, pit of vipers, all kinds of kind names. But he said it's what's going on inside and how that pours out of your speech and your actions that matters. I mean, what a challenge, but what an invitation for a church community that desires to follow Jesus. I mean, he spells it out, the Old Testament scriptures. I mean, it's just all in there everywhere. That our faith, the things that we say we believe, is known as real, is shown as real in the things that we say and that we do. So the call is to faithfulness. My prayer is that God will give you and give me ears to hear that, eyes to see the needs around us, the need for kindness, compassion, justice, mercy, humility, and that God will give us hearts, right, the deepest part of us, with a passion to follow after that and to live that out with God's help in our life. Let's pray.